It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. If you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. Choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello everybody and welcome to Goldbridge Saves Football. Lot to talk about. Manchester United, what's going on there? Why are Chelsea fans singing for Jose Mourinho? Liverpool, big decisions going their way. Got strong opinions on that. And also, signing of the season. Is it Declan Rice? Is it McAllister at Liverpool? Some interesting takes on that. Plus, we're approaching the business end of the season. Pratt of the week and a lot more, including Will.
Yes, I'm in that Pratt category this weekend. More on that later. Podcast is called Goldbridge Saves Football, but I thought I was going to have to save you from football this weekend. You're on Twitter. You were losing your head. I didn't know if to stage an intervention and come around your house and just look after you, because some of the tweets coming out of your fingertips were an absolute disgrace.
I apologise not for any of the tweets. I apologise for a couple of words that came out of my mouth on the watch along, which I don't feel good about. That's the only apology you're going to get from me. But I stand by firmly my opinion on the officiating in the Manchester derby. I haven't changed an instant. I haven't changed a moment of my opinion, and even after a night's sleep, I still feel the same.
Yeah, well, that just shows how stubborn and wrong you are. So I'm sure we'll get into that. But I thought it was a fantastic game for the neutral, that Manchester derby.
Oh God,
what are you on about?
Why?
Great end-to-end football. I wanted you to win or take points off Man City because I don't want that dominance to crack on. But it was just Phil Foden from an English perspective. Two absolute screamers. It was brilliant.
Yeah, I just love watching somebody dominate somebody who's cheating. Love it.
Yeah,
absolutely love
Pornhub
it.
Category.
You know what? I think it's actually, you could almost have synergy from the weekend. On the one hand, you've got Man City dominating Manchester United. And on the other hand, you've got Max Verstappen in a Red Bull, you know, a year quicker than everybody else dominating that. Both because they're just too good compared to everybody else. I'm not calling Red Bull cheats, but we know that there's a 1-1-5 against Man City. To be continued.
Well, they're Red Bull aren't cheats, but there might be some other cheats in the Red Bull
team.
Let's
not get into it. Girl power. Anyway, let's go. I want to talk about the Manchester derby. I was driving over here from Leamington. I've just done the football fill-in with Ben Foster. I'm driving home over here from Leamington, and literally for the whole 10-mile journey, I got stuck behind a small car doing less than the speed limit. And I felt this must be what it's like to be Erik ten Hag. People say, what's Erik ten Hag doing? I think he is Goldbridge behind that car from Leamington saying, I want to take over. I want to move forward, but I can't. It's a busy road and I don't want to put myself and other road users at risk. I will stay behind this slow moving vehicle and just have to put up with it until there is a better opportunity, i.e. the summer.
Well, I always think after these games, and as a fan, you've lost a derby, so I can understand your anguish and your anger. But I think Roy Keane said it best in the post-match analysis. They've just lost to Manchester City. Like, what do you expect?
Yeah, 100%.
So, I don't. And a good performance for 75 minutes.
This is what I mean. There was some prat who phoned up on TalkSport, right? And they shouldn't have let him on. If it was my show, I'd have said, you're talking crap, get off.
But he's here today.
And he rings up and he goes, what's Ten Hag doing? £430 million spent. What's he doing? I don't know what he's doing. What's he doing? And that got played again this morning. And I was like, well, you've just let a complete and utter prat on. The money that Ten Hag has spent keeps going up, for a start. It was £400 million last week. It's inflation. Bloody inflation, the price of bread. And then he's talking about, I don't know what he's doing. I know what he's doing. He's going to Man City, like 99% of the population, which makes it sound like my gran's going up to Man City. We're parking the bus. He's gone up to Man City and he's basically played compact counter-attack football. And, you know, there's probably only Arsenal and Liverpool that aren't going to do that in the Premier League at the moment.
Yeah, no, 100%. So that, from that perspective, I also think it comes from the opportunities, because as good as Marcus Rashford's goal was, there was several...
What did you think about Rashford today, in the match?
Great goal, but like, he could have won and lost Manchester United the game, because there was
the one-on-one
should have dealt with better. I think you can definitely have more composure in that one that comes to the back post and play it across. I think he could be stronger for the Kyle Walker challenge. And there was just some other opportunities where I think he could have done a lot better. So it was sort of that classic game, well, not a game of two halves, it was sort of that first 10 minutes. And then he was good, but even from like an England perspective now, they were talking about it, about the Southgate squad.
Impact player.
Yeah, I just...
That's all he is, isn't he?
Yeah, he's nowhere near that starting 11 for me going forward. And yeah, great for him to get the goal, but you just got to take that and crack on. Because on the break, on the transition, there were some real opportunities there, weren't there? But they just weren't taken.
Well, I don't want to class myself as a genius, because...
definitely not that.
I certainly am, but I seem to recall that on Goldbridge, I did predict that Rashford would score. And I think your mouth broke out into some... smiley laughter about that. Do you want to cough that back up?
Well, no. Are you happy when Rashford scores? Obviously.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah,
I am happy.
No, I know you aren't really.
I'm really happy, and I was very happy when he scored that goal. But as I said, when I'd calmed down a bit, I was like, to be fair, good kick out by Onana. Oh. Bruno does well, lays it off, and as a professional footballer, I know it's a banger of a goal, but he's running onto it. There's no player anywhere near him. He's not going to lose that. You know, I guarantee in Trent, you're not going to lose. Rashford's never going to lose the ability to actually strike a ball well. And he did. But then, you know, and I thought, oh my God, he's done that big interview. What a big reaction. But to be honest with you, his game plummeted after that. I think it was a brilliant goal, but it's almost a lesson in football, I think, because great goal, but the performance wasn't very good. And it's almost like when we were growing up, if Man United had won that game 1-0 and Rashford had the same performance, he would have got man of the match for scoring that goal. But football's moved on now. It's not just about... scoring a goal is not enough. I think he's been on Instagram this morning like with a load of pictures, and the replies aren't great. A lot of people are like going, great goal, but you played shit. Which I think is harsh, because, you know, he's got every right to put a picture out there. But it's like... football has moved on now. You watch the contrast of Rashford versus Foden. And yes, Brett Foden scored more goals. But his overall performance, looking after the ball, passing and moving. And I think that's where United lost it yesterday. And I don't blame Ten Hag's tactics. I thought the defence was good. But in the second half, Bruno, Rashford, Garnacho and McTominay just couldn't keep hold of the ball to alleviate the pressure. And we couldn't build attacks.
I think the thing was as well, looking at the stats in the first half, because... although Manchester City dominated, they didn't actually have any clear chances till that Haaland chance, which he should have buried. But I was like, these stats aren't really telling the true tale of the story. But I think ultimately it was just that total sort of, they were just relentless, weren't they? And then they just kept on going. And then it almost became to a point when it was in that period of that 20 minutes when he could hardly touch the ball. It was like, this is inevitable here, isn't it?
I think 2-1, in fairness though, 2-1 was the right scoreline. I think, and when you say, if you'd said to me on Friday 2-1, I'd have said, you know what, no one wants to lose, actually the situation we're in, not too bad. And I've got to say, I know we're going to get into it, and I'm sure people in the comments are going to disagree as well, get in, but I'm absolutely convinced that even today that the referees had a stinker there. I think that the first one that I think is an absolute bloody disgrace, and VAR won't do anything about it and Webb won't do anything about it, is that Edison tackle. That's anywhere else on the pitch... that is, you're sat here going, he's, you know, 10 match ban.
He's, what are you on about?
100%.
He's out
of control.
Let me tell you now, you have done some great work this year. We've been on a united front going against the PGMOL this season, and we've rightly called out the wrong stuff that they've done, right? You're in danger here of undoing that good work.
But
Edison got the ball.
No.
The slow replays, the fast replay showed it.
That's not the rule.
What do you mean?
We're not in the 1970s.
He wasn't studs up
bloody
though, either.
Hunter.
No,
he's run 20 yards and launched himself into a tackle.
No.
So much so that Garnacho almost looks like he pulls out of it because he doesn't want to break his leg. His legs are wide apart.
You're bending the truth.
I don't know what
here.
His legs are wide apart. He's leading with his studs and he gets the ball.
He's not leading with his
studs. Is it out of control?
No.
Yeah. Is it endangering the opposition?
No.
Yes. It was for me, that is a foul anywhere else on the pitch. But because it's Man City and because it's in the box,
why
and
would I
it's a
be
goalkeeper.
Defending? Why would so if it from a neutral perspective now? Why would I be defending?
Because you love a good Brexit tackle. That's it. You've gone good old days tackle. No, you can't tackle like that. answer me this.
You good?
I'll answer me this. If that happens,
yeah,
in the centre circle.
Excuse me. Oh, God.
Do you want me to edit that again?
No, you're fine. You're allergic to your own shit.
No. If that happens in the centre circle, you know, Rodri sprints 10 yards, launches himself into a tackle. The referee goes, play on.
Yeah.
No way. The crowd would go crazy.
Because he's got the ball, studs down. Fantastic challenge.
No, he's endangering the opposition. If anything, studs were up as well.
If anything, that could be probably the greatest tackle of the season.
No. Yeah, probably win 1-1-5 the bloody title as well. What compounds it for me is he then gives a goal kick.
Yeah.
They go up the other end and score. So it's like double compounds it. And then the Rashford one, I mean, I do think it's a soft free kick. But you know what? Again, people are, this is what people do. They re-referee the game how they think football should
You've
go.
You've just done that.
No,
yes.
I don't. I'm following, I'm reading the rules.
No.
Get me on the Liverpool one in a minute. I'm reading the rules and it says a foul is when you're out of control, reckless and endangering an opposition. Well, Edison ticks every box there. And also on the Rashford one, he'd already given a foul on Mainoo for the same thing. And in the second half, he gave a foul on Delo for the same thing. And we see it all the time. You're past the player, someone pulls you. A lot of the time, the attacker will stop and go, hey, up ref, and they'll go, yeah, that's a foul. Walker definitely pulls Rashford back. A minute before, he'd done the same thing, no foul. And I was like, but you're giving, we know these are fouls. And then again, they go and score from it as well, which compounds it. And that's why Ten Hag got a booking. But look, the bigger picture is, I thought they were bad, bad decisions. And I'll argue them with anybody, but you can't argue the result because you're still sat there watching Man City have wave after wave after attack. So look, yeah, Man City deserve to win it. But I don't think in that circumstance, people say, what's Ten Hag doing? That's not the game to judge Ten Hag. You know?
No, no. Johnny Evans at the back, like I think it was Adam Crafton tweeted it from The Athletic, like Johnny Evans went in there in the summer and we were all like, oh, he'd be a great emergency defender. Now he's starting the Manchester City derby.
And Lindelof at left back.
So you definitely have got a caveat. Like the squad really needs improving, doesn't it? Because I know the amount of injuries, but like if you're going to go on a front of Europe, domestic trophies and Premier League, that squad needs to be a lot stronger.
Well, I thought about it and we spoke about it a few months ago. Remember when Liverpool went to the Etihad and Trent scored that goal and it was a bit of a shock
and they got
a point. And I was like, Man City dominated them. And that's Liverpool.
Yeah.
I think even with United, even if they had Shaw, Martinez, Højlund, you'd still say it's going to be hard because United aren't ready at the moment. So when you go there with, you know, what they went there with, I think Ten Hag set it up perfectly. It didn't work. I don't think Rashford and Bruno are good enough to take Man United to the level they need to be. That doesn't mean sell them, but I think you need better than them. But I think when it comes to Ten Hag's future and what he's doing, it was never about yesterday. The people who are moaning Ten Hag out after yesterday, in my opinion, are clueless because that's not the game. Everton at home next week, lose that. You know, Brentford away in a couple of weeks. We've got Palace away. I think we've got Bournemouth away. You know, there's a few Chelsea away. Those are the games.
But that's the context, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like the City result comes off the back of a home defeat to Fulham,
which was bad.
Yeah, which was bad. But if yesterday's probably not as bad as some people are making out. If you haven't lost to Fulham, and then also with Bruno and Rashford, you mentioned there, I think there's probably an air of like because the squad is so, you know, it goes first teamers and then basically into sort of
there's no depth.
You've probably got an air of comfortability there, haven't you? Of like, my position's not really in doubt. Maybe more Rashford's, he's been chopped and changed a bit, but Bruno sort of can do what he wants.
Yeah, this is why, you know, not enough is said about what's wrong with Mason Mount. I think it's incredible. But look, from United to Chelsea, because I think there are parallels, I can't speak. I could not believe that Chelsea fans, who have every right to sing about what they want to sing, are singing about Jose Mourinho. To me, Will, what are your thoughts on that? But I actually look at Chelsea and in some ways, I think they're in more trouble than United, despite spending a billion, because United are about to embark on a change under Ineos. Might work, might not. But Chelsea sort of have played their cards.
Yes, yeah.
And they're locked in. They've got no money. They've got all these players that clearly aren't good enough. And I don't actually... Chelsea, look, fans are always going to turn on a manager. We've got it at United. But I don't look at this and go, this is Pochettino's fault. I just don't.
No, yeah. What, Boehly's been there for nearly 2 years now, spent all that money. And even you could probably say that Jim Radcliffe probably put more infrastructure work in than Ted Boehly has in the 1 week that he's been there, just with all the signs coming out and the interview with the BBC and everything like that. And with Chelsea, I think it's one of those situations where Poch has gone in, being ex-Spurs manager to Chelsea, not been fancied. And then as soon as those steps are in place of like, we're losing here, everything's going bad, that just snowballs, doesn't it? And you compound it. I would like to see Jose Mourinho back at Chelsea as a football fan and an entertainment fan. Do I think he's the right man for Chelsea? Absolutely not. Do I want to see the world burn at Chelsea? Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're right. I think if Amazon Prime or Netflix are going to sign him up and do a little, you know, 3 months thing, because that's all I think it will last, then absolutely fine. The reasons I wouldn't go for Jose Mourinho, I think I tweeted it the other night. That team's full of young players that need to improve. That's not Mourinho. You need about 500 million spent on senior players because Mourinho wants to be ready to go. They haven't got that money. And third and most important of all, his style of football does not work in the Premier League. So it's sentimentality. And I guarantee you within 3 months, Chelsea fans will be singing, get rid of him.
I thought we were getting a Jose Mourinho documentary.
You mentioned that. I think you dreamt it.
No, I remember seeing that. That'd be a good watch.
But look, yeah, with Pochettino, they're not doing very well. And if Chelsea fans want to get rid of him, that's fine. But I, much the same as Man United, a lot of people want to get rid of Ten Hag. And then you go, who are you bringing in? And then you go, they're going, De Zerbi, get out. Tuchel, no thanks. Potter, I'm not even here to answer that. I've just walked out of the room.
Southgate.
Yeah. No, not a chance. So I think that when I look at that Chelsea side, I think sometimes you can drop a manager in and go, there's a coach that, you know, funnily enough, when it comes to West Ham, Moyes has done really well. But I think if you dropped a better coach in, they probably would play better football. I don't know whether they'd get be any higher in the league. But he would get them playing better football. The results would change. But I look at Chelsea and I look at all their players and I don't see a manager coming in and going, right, this is what we're meant to do. They need a bloody striker for a start.
But I think the thing is, it's all about the circumstance, isn't it? Like maybe, to be fair, you banged this drum since the start of the season and before of like Poch actually not being a top four manager. And he's got the top four players. Whereas, like, I think David Moyes is probably the best manager for West Ham because that's their level. West Ham fans could disagree. But if you bring it, you know, like when they had Pellegrini, it worked for a little bit, but ultimately it was just never going to work. So I think if you're Chelsea, you're going to have to look for those elite managers and they're just not out there.
No. Let's move it on a little bit. Let's talk about the title race. Yeah. I mean, obviously, we spoke about Man City. Liverpool at the weekend. I was doing a stream on That's Football. So I was sort of keeping an eye on that whilst keeping an eye on lots of other games, some really good games on Saturday. I didn't really clock the controversy with the Liverpool goal at the time. And then when I was doing the Talk Sport show, I'd done a bit of research and I knew what had gone wrong. Obviously, if you don't know, the referee basically gave the ball back to Liverpool when it should have gone back to Forrest because the ball was outside the box when he blew his whistle. Liverpool went up the other end, had a corner, they didn't clear it, and then they scored from it. Sometimes a decision forms in your mind and then you sort of calm down a bit, et cetera, et cetera. Actually, where I sort of stand on this is, and Liverpool, it's a bit like Spurs with that onside goal, isn't it? Spurs aren't the villain because VAR didn't get it right. Liverpool aren't the villain because VAR didn't get it right. But actually, if you give the ball back to Forrest, they might put a cross in. Kelleher catches it. They go up the other end and score anyway. And Forrest had the opportunity to clear it just before that. So I'm not really locked. I think we're getting wrong. What's your thought on it? Because I have a theory, which I'll give in a minute, that I think we're getting locked into the wrong thing. People are talking about, Liverpool and all stuff like that. But it's nothing to do with Liverpool. That could have been United. I think the big conversation is actually just dreadful officiating.
Yeah, but fundamentally, like Liverpool have scored off the back of that because Forrest were deep down in their third, would have had the ball, held it in the corner, gone out for a corner. You know, if the ball goes out of play, that's another 30 seconds, a minute.
Hypothetically, they were trying to win.
You did a hypothetical with Kelleher of like kicking it up the other end.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't think it's enough to say that Liverpool win that game because of that decision. That referee did the same thing in the first half, the other way around as well.
But fundamentally, like it was their ball. So that is like, that's a grade A error. They should have there straight away. I think the best thing about it, but from the entertainment, that's what I'd love to see. Your coach is on the pitch in the referee's face. Stephen Reid gets a red card. The owner was on the pitch doing his best.
Neil Warnock.
Yeah, he chased the referee down there. So I'm not condoning that, but I also do like to see it because as a Forest fan, you've put in one of the performances of the season against one of the title challengers. You need points on the board and you feel robbed and you are robbed.
I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to.
What?
Something that won't happen. Michael Owen and Howard Webb picking this to talk about in a couple of weeks.
Do you think that'll get renewed for next year?
Well, it's more scripted than bloody EastEnders. Yeah. They only pick out the good bits. I mean, what I don't know whether many people have spoken about this, but what I want is the audio, because that's another one, like the onside goal. There will be audio of this. And if there isn't, look, I'd throw Liverpool in as a victim of this, and I'd throw Forest in as a victim, and I'd throw every football fan as a victim, because what we need to remember is this is happening all the time, all season. It's impacting the title. It's impacting the relegation race. Let's just imagine Nottingham Forest go down by a point. Well, they could have had a point. Let's just imagine Liverpool miss out on the title by a point. Then we know that, and Arsenal as well with the Newcastle goal. So there's lots of things already twisting and turning. But what we must remember with VAR is that there's a lot of audio going on that we don't know about. So when, and there's a break in the play with the head injury to Konate. So when Tierney starts it off again with that, surely somebody's going, you know, he's got it wrong.
Be that poor guy that was on the Spurs one.
Shut up. And if they haven't done that, that's four people who are incompetent. So look, I mean, Goldbridge Saves Football, Will, I think we need to be one of the few who are shouting this out, saying release the audio tapes, because we can't change it. We know we can't change it, but it would be very interesting to know, one, if somebody called it out and told him he'd got it wrong and couldn't go back, or two, if nobody said anything, it's more than the referee, it's VAR as well.
I think we'll end up with like a WikiLeaks scenario where there'll be like a disgruntled employee of like PGMLO who's just got like a Google Drive of audio, and he's like, Tierney's done me wrong. Here's the audio of the Forest game, and then we get an absolute scandal on our hands.
While we're in the pub, the drinks are on me. I guarantee you the audio doesn't come out, and if it does come out, I guarantee you nobody told him he'd got it wrong, because if they had, they'd have done it in the first half.
I think what we're all thinking is, what's Michael Owen's opinion on this?
Yeah, and also, what about this?
You're right.
Yeah, I turned into Michael Owen for a minute. The law. It's written down in law.
Yeah.
It's not. It's like passing your driving test.
Yeah.
It's so
fundamental.
It's so simple, and they've missed it in the first half and the second half. Madness.
Right. Let's get excited though, because you have mentioned the title race, and we're going into March madness, because everywhere from top to middle to bottom at the Premier League, there's big games happening all over. Title race. Manchester City have got a march that will define the season one way or the other.
Massive game next week.
They've got the Copenhagen game in the Champions League. Then they've got Liverpool away. They've got Newcastle at home. Then they go away to Brighton, and they finish March on the 31st. At home to Arsenal.
Lovely stuff.
So it could be decided, do you think, by the end of March, who will be top at
Easter.
March or Christmas? Easter.
Yeah. March or Christmas. Easter. Look, Man City do look ominous. I think they've sort of grinded results out over the last month when they weren't playing well, but against Luton and United, they look like they're moving into those gears now. I think Liverpool have got to beat them on Sunday. At least draw.
Yeah, it's just that I was trying
to. But they're not at their best, are they? Injuries.
No, the injury wise, like, I think Salah.
And they're playing Thursday.
Yeah, Salah might be back, but I think he still won't be back. It said he should be back for the 10th, but then Trent's still out, Jota's still out, Gravenberch is out now, isn't he? So it's just like.
And they're playing on Thursday in the Europa League. It's not in Prague.
Hopefully he goes. I mean, he's used a lot of kids so far.
That's what I mean.
He's
using them in the first team.
Yeah.
Isn't he?
So if he can, the strongest team, the strongest 11 he can get to that game against Manchester City. As football fans, maybe not a United fan, but you just want the strongest 11 you can, because
Man City are looking good.
Yeah, we were pinning our. I think the bigger game now is the Arsenal game.
I'd fancy Arsenal against them at the moment,
just because of the injuries to Liverpool.
Yeah, yeah. But I think it's really intriguing. I said last week, Arsenal, I think, are favourites. And at the moment, I've just got a feeling about Arsenal, because they're sort of being left alone a bit, aren't they? So, yeah, I still think Arsenal are favourites at the moment. But they've got to keep winning, and they could really benefit from the game at the weekend if it's a draw.
Yeah, exactly. Further down the league, Champions League, people still speaking about Manchester United for it. I don't think that's going to happen because of four places and consistency.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't be surprised, but I'd write us off.
Yeah,
I think that's the way to go.
I mean, you're dreaming.
Villa and Spurs as well, winning games at the weekend when at moments it looked like they might not. And Villa and Spurs are a better team than Man United. Man United beat Villa a couple of weeks ago, didn't they? But Villa and Spurs starting 11 is actually really strong at the moment. And I think the fact that they're fighting against each other is helping them as well.
Well, Spurs are 5 points behind Aston Villa, but do have a game in hand. And then to tie back into this March madness...
Sunday's a massive day.
Aston Villa versus Tottenham on Sunday, the 10th of March.
Yeah, just before Liverpool play Man City. What a Sunday.
Yes.
And guess what? It's Mothering Sunday.
Yes.
There's not going to... There's going to be a lot of unhappy mothers out there.
Yes. I'm just trying to think of my whereabouts. I'm going to have to change them. But that should be an app. In terms of Super Sunday, I would say that is the super.
It's the biggest one of the season, yeah.
And then down the bottom, I know you don't like to talk about the bottom half of the table, but the relegation battle is good. Maybe not so much on the fixture list, but Everton and Forest are 4 and 5 points clear of Luton, respectively. Luton do have a game in hand, but most importantly, the Everton second charges and Forest charges, I think, do get solved in March. So then we could be saying...
Luton are back in it.
Yeah, Luton are back in it, and you're back on the Luton bandwagon.
Well, I heard somebody at the weekend, I think it was on the Talk Sport show, said Everton are really lucky because they're playing so bad at the moment. They're really lucky that they've been giving them points. And I was like, They had those 10 points. They've not, you know, here's five, here's four. They actually have won those 10 points. So look, Everton are a weird team at the moment. It seems to be years since they won a game, but yeah, I think Everton
should have won at the weekend.
Yeah, yeah. It's all about the XG, Will.
80 minutes. They Beto missed that penalty. Then he scored. They had another chance. That Arbeloa literally had like a movie star appearance.
Well, people keep saying Luton might stay up, but you got to win games. And, you know, in this league, it's so competitive. You've got to, you know, that Villa game, 2-2, you've got to see that out. But they didn't.
I want to do it because here's my Birmingham mention of the podcast. If Luton stay up, we get, I think, a £2 million bonus on Tahith Chong.
Oh, nice.
So you got to look after yourself.
That's a lot of money for Birmingham.
That could keep us afloat. We're going in the right direction, are we? Who knows? It's time for Pratt of the Week.
Let's do it.
You're a Pratt, he's a Pratt, she's a Pratt, they're whiny. Now it's time for Pratt of the Week. 1, 2, 3. Right, let's look. Well, I mean,
some crackers this week. Yeah, I was contributing over the weekend. There were so many.
We were going back and forth. There was that many Pratts, wasn't there? Where do you want to start? Should we start with the one I sent across to you first?
What?
Actually, no, let's start with the Real Madrid one.
Okay. Because, yeah, and it's a quick one.
Yes, quick one. Okay, a little quick one. I don't know if you've seen it. Gary Lineker.
We've all seen it.
Gary Lineker quote retweeted me. Big moment for me.
Did he?
Yeah.
We'll never do that to me because I'm blocked.
He said, love the podcast. Can't wait to come on. No, yeah. He didn't.
Shit himself. No. Not for the first time.
Oh, we're trying to get him on the podcast. Real Madrid joined 2-2 with Valencia. Cross comes in. 97th minute of the game. Referee blows up. Bellingham scores.
Good choice. Good decision.
Oh, come on.
You said about Edison.
We're not pretty... You're being silly.
At the end of the day, what's happened is the corner's the last action of the game. He's ready to go and then the ball goes out and he's thinking, I've got to blow my whistle. And then I think he has a little cough and he goes, oh, God.
No, that Valencia player goes up to him like, see.
No. He's gone to blow and then he hasn't. And then the cross has come in and he's got... No, I'm joking. It's a complete and utter cock up, but it is blatantly human error. He's gone to blow and then he hasn't. And then he's realised he should. And at that point, the cross is coming in. And you can't do that. We've all played FIFA and we've been on the attack and the fucking ref blows. And you're like, you're a knob. It's an unwritten rule. You don't blow on an attacking phase of play. When that corner goes out to the right back, he can blow then. But as soon as a lot of blow talk.
The only thing I think as well is you don't do that and you also don't send Jude Bellingham off.
Yeah. Fair play that he understood what fucking fuck was.
What the fuck? Right, the other ones were...
He is a Pratt of the Week, but I do feel a bit sorry for him. No, not Jude Bellingham. I do feel a bit sorry for the referee. I don't know the background. Maybe he is a big twat, but...
The referee, when I said before, when I went to that game just before Christmas, the refereeing's like EFL level, maybe even lower.
But I don't watch La Liga anymore, but one thing that did come into my head is that I thought, you know, it should have been a goal, but so many people have said to me this year, Real Madrid, like they've had a few go their way, apparently. I don't know.
Yeah, well, we don't want to... That's a large section of the Spanish audience that we need to get on that AI thing that makes you Spanish.
And they're also top of the league by quite a lot, aren't they?
Yeah. Maybe it makes it.
Stop moaning.
Things a bit interesting. Mark, if it's all right for you, I'd like to hear from our halftime sponsors. Do you want to get into the Tim Sherwood one?
You know what? I found this, and this is what it should all be about on the podcast, because it is Pratt of the Week and we have to be diverse. Although Tim Sherwood does get mentioned quite a lot, I just saw Tim Sherwood's all-time Liverpool 11, and he also claimed that Henderson was a better captain than Gerrard. Well, we did best ever Premier League captains last week, and I think Henderson got about as much mention as Bruno Fernandes. Just on from last week, you know, we were talking about a club captain of a club that's not won anything that might be long. Mark Noble got a mention, which was quite an interesting one.
And Matt Letizia.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Move on from that. Let's have a look at Tim Sherwood's all-time Premier League Liverpool team. We can all get involved in this. So he had Alisson in goal. Yeah, I agree with that. Trent, Van Dijk, Hippier and Robertson. Probably about right. I mean, yeah. Carragher maybe at Hippier over Hippier, but I think Hippier was
I'd
a very
take
good
Carragher over Hippier. But that, it's not like a fucking hell.
Yeah, his back five's absolutely fine. This is where it gets good, though. Gerrard, Henderson and John Barnes.
Yeah.
So I went Gerrard, definitely Xabi Alonso.
Yeah.
And
Patrick
actually,
Berger.
I thought Coutinho had 5 good years there. I know he's tainted by recency bias, but before he went to Barcelona, there's a reason they paid 130 million quid for him.
Yeah.
So John Barnes, to be honest, by that time, Premier League started in 1992.
I think of him as an 80s player than a 90s player.
And Jordan Henderson over Xabi Alonso? No. So I think he's had an absolute stinker there. And then he's got Salah, Suarez and McManaman. Well, Salah, Suarez and Mane.
Yeah. Well, even Fernando Torres for his time at Liverpool, well, I'll throw up there.
Yeah. So I don't know what...
That feels like an 11 with a lot of personal grievances, especially Carragher being out of it.
Yeah, well, that confused me. No Carragher, who's English, but then I've got to put Henderson, Barnes and McManaman in, which just feels ridiculously English bias. So, yeah, I'm not a Liverpool fan. You're not a Liverpool fan, but we are a podcast that's here to save football. And I thought we can't leave these sort of things just out there that could be influencing the children of the future, the adults of the future and the elderly who are probably very impressionable as they get older, which is not me, that's science.
No, yeah.
There'll be some old fella called Will, but who is looking at William Hill Twitter and seeing that 11 going, he's off down the library or Tesco spreading that shit about.
I would like to, I think Steve McManaman, very underrated player.
But if you're going to put McManaman in there, you've got to put Robbie Fowler in
there. Oh, I wouldn't put him in there, but
yeah.
But
no, McManaman over Mane is a disgrace. Henderson over Alonso is a disgrace. And John Barnes over most of Liverpool's midfielders in the Premier League era is a disgrace. It's just, it's poor punditry.
Tim Sherwood would probably put himself in an all-time England 11.
He'd probably put himself in an all-time Liverpool 11 because he went to Liverpool once for a night out.
And he had a great time.
And I actually am a really good midfielder, so hypothetically, I should be in there.
Your favourite person in football right now is Gary Neville. Much like the Luton one, been a big U-turn on that. But Yannick Bolasie disrespecting him as a fullback on the Filthy Fellas podcast. You not happy with this?
I'm happy with the podcast. The podcast is good.
Oh, we love the podcast. Yeah, great guests.
Yeah. They basically said... What was it they said? Is Gary Neville underrated?
Yeah,
and then he sort of
asked him about Yannick Bolasie.
What would you do?
And he had a like very movie star sort of like.
And then somebody else on the podcast said, yeah, you'd roast him or something like that. I just think that, you know, absolutely fine. But who is Yannick Bolasie? I actually thought he was about 25. He's into his 30s now. Because he's always been this player that...
He was at Swansea, I think. I don't know
he released. Left Swansea in January. He's been at Everton. I actually thought he was still 25 because he's always been this player that you think, ooh, he's going to end up being a good player. And actually, his whole career's gone. Yannick Bolasie against Gary Neville, and he's laughing and sniggering that he thinks he's better than him. I actually think this is a bigger problem because I mentioned Neville being underrated, so I don't want to go over that again. But Gary Neville, I've seen Gary Neville win titles, win European Cups and play plenty of times for England. I've seen him in Euro 96 be one of our best players in one of the best England sides I've seen.
Yeah,
I've seen him play against Figo, against Ronaldo when we've been down to 10 men and play really, really well. And I've obviously seen him play for United consistently. Look, as I said, if Gary Neville wants to depreciate himself because that's what he's like, that's up to him. But it's not up to him. It's also up to people who watched him play to say, actually, he was very good. And we've had it with Vidic in recent weeks from certain other pundits. The reality is that United side, so I heard Souness talking about Beckham today. And although he was asked whether he was world class, no, not for me. He just made the most of what he's got. I think, again, there almost is with this United side. When you go back to the Beckhams, and I've heard it with Giggs, Gary Neville, Vidic, there's almost this like underappreciation of actually how good they were.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's up Man City's arse. That Man United side was better, in my opinion. And even if it wasn't better, it was certainly as good. It was that team of that era. It was absolutely dominant. And to have, you know, what is a Premier League journeyman sniggering about what he'd do to Gary Neville, he'd tear him apart now.
Yeah,
maybe he meant now. You know, 48-year-old Gary Neville. Yeah, maybe that's what he meant, to be fair. But I just think, you know, it's the whole thing again, isn't it?
Yeah.
People commenting on football who probably didn't watch football back then. I mean, Gary Neville was at his best in the late 90s.
Yeah.
Well, that's 26 years ago. Yannick Bolasie was probably 8.
Well, that goes back to you and us as a collective getting that t-shirt out there of Out Your Mum's Chuff.
Yeah.
Which someone in the comments did. So
don't, get up. If you're up your mum's chuff, what? I've had enough.
Yeah, nice. Get that printed. We'll get that sorted for next week. The final one I sent to you yesterday was, obviously, Liverpool are on the youth collective at the moment. Some fantastic player. If you're like me and like really niche players, so like Neil Danz's son's obviously playing for Liverpool.
Did he play for Birmingham?
Neil Danz did, yeah.
What, with Roger Johnson at the back?
No, it was in the...
That was Scott Danz, wasn't it?
It was when we were in... Scott Dan, yeah. Different people. Jason Kumas' son, obviously playing for Liverpool. Glenn Murray went on... final score,
yeah,
and basically opens his thing by talking about him going, it's great to see that they finally surpassed what their dads have done. Right, bloody hell. I mean, Jason Kumas had over 100 Premier League appearances.
He was an FPL legend. I was on about this earlier. Someone was on about him playing for West Brom, and I said, I'm sure I had him at Wigan. He used to get me loads
of
points.
Cardiff, an absolute wizard, great dead ball specialist. Neil Dan's fantastic career as well. So I think these players have played 2, maybe 3 games. And Glenn Murray's already given them the trophy of you're better than your dad. One, you don't even need to do that. Like, Neil Dan's, oh, we're having a great time. My son's doing really well. You're shit now and your son's better. Why can't I just enjoy my son being good?
I've got to be honest, I can't picture Neil Dan's.
I had dreadlocks for a bit as well. Small.
Yeah. Where did he play?
It's like centre mid, centre attacking mid, maybe drift out to the right. Oh, I'll send you these Blues collection.
Kumas, I definitely do remember.
Yeah, fantastic. But
Glenn Murray might be half right.
No. I mean, just let them have their moment.
Yeah,
let them no have one's surpassing anyone. Yeah. Who you want to put as your final Pratt of the week then?
I think you've got to put the referee in the Real Madrid game, but I do feel a bit sorry for him. It probably should be Sherwood because he's done it willingly.
Yeah. Yeah, but you don't know about this referee. Has he done it willingly?
Yeah, let's give it the referee.
You're a Pratt, he's a Pratt, she's a Pratt, they're whiny. Now it's time for Pratt of the week. 1, 2, 3.
We don't want to annoy Jude Bellingham. Right, let's move into the either-ors. We already covered off a few of them about Poch and Jose. An interesting one we wanted to start with after another fantastic performance. Signing of the season. We've looked at this across different points, but we're getting into the business end. And Declan Rice or Alexis McAllister, who would be your signing of the season and why?
Well, get in the chat if you think there's anybody else worthy of it. But for me, I think we both agreed that there's two real standout signing of the seasons. And hallelujah, praise the Lord, that it's a midfield, two deep-lying midfielders. Declan Rice, 100 million. And Alexis McAllister, I think, was about 40 million, wasn't it?
Well, it was 30 and then could go up to 50 depending on certain add-ons.
Yeah, so my signing of the season is Alexis McAllister. I think Declan Rice, sometimes people get locked into this that you're saying Declan Rice is bad. I think Declan Rice, for a £100 million player, and the fact that no one talks about it, is absolutely had an amazing season. He's so fundamental to Arsenal. But also, I've been saying it all season about McAllister, that he is so underrated. And for that price, to come into that team that is, you know, winning trophies, in a title race... the assist at the weekend was great, but he's just so industrious and never stops running. And I just think he's a massive, massive influence on that Liverpool side that probably goes under the radar with most of the mainstream. I don't really hear him getting mentioned much at all. And for the price as well, I mean, considering it was half the price of Rice, it's got to be McAllister for me.
Yeah, well, you know where I stand on this out of the two? I'd obviously go with Ross Barkley, a free signing and doing absolute wonders for Liverpool. For Luton Town.
Luton. You can't even get the right club.
Well, I think he might end up at Liverpool with the performance he's doing.
But look. Well, let's not be snobby, Will. You know,
you are a bottom-half snob.
No, you can absolutely have a player that goes into a club at any part of the Premier League and has a massive impact. But I wouldn't put Ross Barkley ahead of Declan Rice, let alone McAllister.
No, I'm only joshing you. Just having a bit of
you,
tomfoolery.
You probably do mean it. And now you're backing off because you look an idiot.
Yeah, shut your mouth, you. Let's move on to some other either-ors. Darwin Núñez or Ollie Watkins was sent in. A lot of chat around Ollie Watkins, obviously having a fantastic season. Match of the day, they were even speaking about, you know, there's that worry of if Harry Kane gets injured, what we're going to do. But almost to the point where Ollie Watkins is positioning himself to be, all right, it's bad, but Ollie Watkins offers something different as well.
Well, I think the two most underrated players in the Premier League season probably are McAllister and Watkins in relation to the massive highs they've hit with their teams. I mean, at the weekend, again, I've got Watkins in my fantasy Premier League team, and every week he delivers.
Yeah.
And That's what I mean. Who doesn't? He's such an important player for them. Goals and assists.
How many points you get this weekend?
I haven't checked yet.
70 for me so far.
But I think he's only second to Salah for, you know, combined goals and assists. So he's the complete striker in a team that it's not easy to do that. And I think you're right. If anything happened to Harry Kane, you've, for the first time in years, we've actually got a player that's not a massive drop off. But I also am a big fan of Darwin Nunez. And I think if Nunez played up front for Villa, it wouldn't surprise me if he was doing the same job. So I think that the natural opinion is to say Watkins is better than Nunez because he's doing it in a harder team to do it. But I also think if who would Klopp want?
Would Haaland start for Aston Villa?
I ain't going that one. Would Darwin Nunez start for Aston Villa if they had Ollie Watkins?
Oh, I'm not answering that because I'm too biased.
I think if Darwin Nunez was at Liverpool and he moved to Aston Villa and Emery had to choose between the two, and I think this answers the question, I think Darwin Nunez starts. Because I think Darwin Nunez is a better player than Ollie Watkins. And I think what Ollie Watkins has done is got every ounce of... Emery's got every ounce of him and he's done it as well. But I think Darwin Nunez is the better player. So I would go Darwin Nunez. Who's having the better season? Watkins.
Well, two things. One, it's great to have so many number nines back because it felt a couple of years ago that position
Hoyland's
was
in there as well.
Hoyland, Haaland, Watkins,
Nunez.
It's just, and they're all sort of like that Roy of the Rovers type striker where they just want to score and get goals. And then I can't remember my second point because I got too excited.
Well, there's still
about
a lack
nine.
Of them though, isn't there? I mean, it's almost a section in itself. If Ollie Watkins played for Arsenal, I think they'd win the league. If Ollie Watkins played for Chelsea, I think they'd be in the top six. Yeah. There are still teams that don't have them. Isak at Newcastle as well, I think, you know, you class him as a number nine, wouldn't you? He's doing well. But yeah, it is good. And Watkins, well, he's the best English striker in the Premier League.
Yeah. And... No, he's not going to win more than Harry Kane because he's not going to win anything.
The Harry Kane curse.
Yeah, Harry, do you want to get onto that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't believe in all this sort of stuff, although I feel that Man United's season's been cursed in many ways. There's been so much going on off and on the pitch that hopefully we can turn around. But can you ignore it, people? Get in the chat. Can you ignore it, Will? That's what I say.
I just thought it was an absolute tap in because it was even at the start of the season, didn't they lose like their version of the Charity Shield to start with? Yeah. And everyone was like, oh, here we go. But obviously they win the title. Champions League, they're 1-0 down against Lazio in that game. So they could go out of that.
Wednesday, isn't it?
And then, yeah, the league, obviously Leverkusen are dominating, but then they might be going after Xavi Alonso. So it's just, I really want to see him succeed.
Well, it asks the question.
Well, he is succeeding, but...
Well, it, you know, the great thing about posing a question in the summer or at the start of the season is that you can come back to them 6 months later. And we spoke about this on one of the very first podcasts about Harry Kane leaving Spurs and are Spurs better without Harry Kane? And the general consensus was, of course, Spurs aren't better without Harry Kane.
Yeah.
And of course, Harry Kane's made the right decision because, you know, he wants to go and win things. But then you look at it and, you know, do we need to reassess that now? Because if he doesn't win anything at Bayern... Was he right to go to Bayern?
Yeah, but and then you could look at Spurs getting top four and being back in the Champions League.
Yeah, and also were the warning signs not there? Because Bayern Munich, you know, they win all these titles, but the only reason they won the title last year was because Dortmund choked at home on the last game of the season.
Yeah,
I'm going to watch the. I think I'll do a watch along with it tomorrow night or Tuesday night, whenever it is, when they play Lazio because they're 1-0 down, but it's at home.
Yeah.
And I want to watch that because I find it puzzling with Bayern Munich. You know,
we say it's business end of the season. It's narrative end of the season as well, isn't it? Because so many storylines pop up now where Bayern sort of over there in the distance, but now like, right, Harry Kane could win nothing. Tuchel's going, but what obviously he's been linked with bloody United this morning. So I'll watch that with you, yeah.
Yeah, also, I think with Bayern Munich is that, yeah, I'm sure they'll get the right guy in and they'll probably win the title next year. But if you're Harry Kane, he probably only goes to Germany for 2 or 3 years, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You don't want to just come back with one Bundesliga.
No, you want to get a Champions League in there as well because, you know, those teams can do it. Right, do you want to move on to some of the questions from the audience as well?
Yeah, love it. I do want to do just Poch or Jose.
I thought you covered that off.
Sort of did, yeah.
Yeah.
Poch.
Thanks.
Well, No. I don't think it's that easy because I wouldn't bring Jose back to Chelsea, but... Is Poch the answer for Chelsea, I suppose? Poch or Jose for Chelsea? Yes, I would stick with Pochettino because I think... But more because I don't think it's a bit like United. I don't think the manager's the problem. I think to find out the manager's the problem at United and Chelsea, there are certain things you need to do first. Like Chelsea need to sort out what's going on above the manager and buy a striker, and then you'll figure out how good Pochettino is. And at United, we need to get our players back, clear out some of the shit, and give a structure to the manager, and then we'll find out.
Yeah.
So I think it's more a watching brief for Poch and Ten Hag to me. Jose, I wouldn't bring back, no.
Well, it's almost who's the best sporting director about it, because, I mean, Dan Ashworth's price has gone through the roof because he's been identified as the person to do that. I feel like Chelsea have... need to do that as well, because it's just a mess.
I don't know why we've not been snapped up. You've got many years experience on Football Manager. I've been playing it since it was Championship Manager in 92, and actually I was unbeaten on yeah, it was out in 92, maybe 96.
Yeah, 92 might have been a bit too. I don't know, you might be wrong.
It would have been around the mid-90s, but also there was a game, a little-known game, that was very popular back in the mid-90s called Championship Manager Serie A. A certain person sat at this table that's not you, because you just went, oh, wow, was unbeaten with Parma for four seasons there. Those sort of things.
Basic coding
back
in the
day. Don't go unnoticed.
I just got a second place finish with my Spurs team and my save. And won the FA Cup.
Well done. Well, look, we're cheaper than Ashworth.
Yeah.
If anyone's looking for sporting directors.
Well, a lot of them use Football Manager now because it's so detailed.
Yeah.
Maybe not so high end. Right, so you're going for Jose?
No, Poch.
Exactly. We posed some great questions. Well, you did last week, and it got everyone speaking in the Spotify comments. So get involved again, because we've got some ones.
That reminds me, actually, those blue predators are going to be given away on the Friday show.
I've got a pair
of blue predators that I found in my garage that
Mark's
I was meant to give them away. They've not been worn.
I'll get a nice, but we can make it a phrase. You know,
never going to wear
a feature.
Them.
Oh, what's
never
Mark found in his garage?
I've got my pink Adidas trainers. I might give them away as well.
Right. You can do that on Vinted and eBay if you want. We don't need to be flogging your shit on here. Comments coming in from the Spotify audience. Some wanted, some not wanted. Tom says, Will is obsessed with a younger man. Literally mentions Bellingham at any chance he can. Kind of weird if you ask me.
Yeah.
Our fan ears of Jude.
That was me.
That was you.
Tom.
Yeah. Yeah. But the main one, you put me right on the spot with a sort of start bench shell of Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, and
I
Star
did it on
Wars.
Purpose as well.
Yeah.
You got loads of shit for that.
Yeah, loads of shit. Andy says, selling Lord of the Rings over Star Wars, Pratt. I've never watched Star Wars, nor wanted to. I mean, you can't answer that back and not have watched Star Wars.
I've got to say, I do find people who've not watched Star Wars odd.
Yeah.
I suppose you get to an age point while I accept it, but if you're in your 30s and you haven't watched Star Wars, yeah, you need your hard drive checking.
I remember the remaster. Was it Return of the Jedi?
Your nonce.
Came back out. Right with Will in selling Lord of the Rings, just not for me, says Ryan.
New Star Wars stuff is absolute shit, and the new Lord of the Rings stuff is shit as well.
Some of the spin-offs are good, though. The Mandalorian's
I've made a mistake. We need to cut that out.
What have you done?
Well, I've just destroyed my reputation with all Star Wars and all Lord of the Rings, because there's people who are so loyal to it. But
no, you're not doing that at all.
The new Lord of the Rings stuff was crap. Lenny Henry was in it.
Was he?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Lenny Henry is rubbish.
You sure that wasn't the advert and that you were just watching the Premier Inn one?
He was in it. And I like Lord of the Rings, but that Amazon...
And I like Lenny Henry.
And that Amazon Prime series was crap. And the new Star Wars stuff, I was even reading about... Oh, it's just so shit. It's really bad.
So I was going to move on to some food ones.
Okay.
Because start bench shell, Chinese, Indian or chippy?
Oh, I can never do these.
Why? What are you getting your phone for?
Because I'm bored. I can't do these because it's like, it depends on what I feel like. And I've just had a ham and mustard sandwich and I'm not hungry. But a chippy I would sell.
Yeah.
And it would be a toss up between how I felt on any given Sunday or Saturday.
Nice.
For the other two.
Well, we get some more movie ones. I had a start bench sale, chocolate chip cookies, bourbon creams or chocolate digestive.
I will get rid of the custard creams. I will bench the bourbons and I'll eat the chocolate. I don't eat biscuits anymore either. These are really bad for me.
Yeah. Well, if you are listening to this point and you stayed with us, get involved in the comments. So post some food ones, TV ones, movie ones.
Oh, all football, being as it's a football podcast.
No, we don't want start bench shelves football ones.
Oh, I like them.
Well, maybe a few if you want to appease the mark. Right, it's time for Guess Who. After last week, my head nearly fell off. Gave Mark an open door, really, in hindsight, by giving him Obafemi Martins in the first clue. That put you to 9, me to 3. It's time for Guess Who. Do you want me to go first or yourself?
You can go first.
Me asking you?
Yeah, because okay. I haven't got my player yet.
I played for Manchester City 64 times and scored 27 goals, for them whilst winning a league title.
Jovetic.
Incorrect. I joined Manchester City from West Ham, where I scored 12 goals in 35 games.
Joined from West Ham. Tevez.
Incorrect. I played in two World Cups for my nation in 2002 and 2006, where I opened the 2006 World Cup by scoring two goals against Germany.
Kesman. No, what am I on about?
Incorrect.
I think about Chelsea.
As well as...
You're doing this really quick on purpose.
Well, you know, you're answering quick.
I know, I'm just...
Take your time, man. Breathe.
West Ham to Man City, scored goals and played in the World Cup twice. I'm not having Kesman. Jacko.
I literally did in the other week.
Did you?
Yeah. As well as playing for Costa Rica, I also managed them.
Palo One Shot.
Correct. The title I won for Manchester City was the Division 1 title, with my manager being Kevin Keegan.
Well, that's a good one.
That's good.
Still got it, though.
Yeah, you did.
Okay, I've got a... You might get a point back here, then. What was the score? 9-3?
9-3, yeah. So you got it on the fourth clue.
I did have one, but I think it's a bit hard for you, so I'm going to change...
I don't patronise me.
I'm going to change it. Oh, yeah, this is a good one. This is a good one.
Go on, then.
I like this one. I've literally just made it up as I'm going along. Right, where's your Wikipedia page?
Oh, my God.
Who am I? Okay, okay. So, I...
Oh, God, yeah, okay.
God, to be honest, he's very one-dimensional. Did he play any international
Well, that's
career?
Why you should do your research before we get to the end of the podcast.
I didn't, okay. Okay.
If you've stuck with us this far,
I'm a Londoner.
Go on.
I played youth football at West Ham, but I'm more famous for playing football in the Premier League with Wigan.
Ben Watson.
No. I picked a bad one here. I played 145 games for Wigan, scoring 10 goals. I then moved to Fulham, where I played 39 games and scored 6 goals before moving to Hull City, where I played 23 games and had 7 goals.
Jason Roberts?
No. I'm a midfielder. I do occasionally appear on TalkSport and golfing channels.
Oh, I can't get it now. West Ham, Wigan to Fulham.
Get rid of West Ham. He never played for me. Just started there.
Wigan,
Fulham, Hull, Wigan. Golfing channel.
Jimmy Bullard.
Yay! Fucking hell, Will.
Sorry.
You're never going to catch me up.
9-4. I'm catching you up already.
That is just subpar.
Yeah, sorry. That was bad from me. Yeah, but it doesn't help when you're dilly-dallying. You know me, clear, concise. I'm at the point.
You were too quick.
No, you were answering too quick.
Yeah.
You're in the wrong there, you prat.
I think we know whose missus is more happy.
Why?
I take my time.
Right. 9-4. On the comeback, we're doing the podcast this week. Goldbridge, lot to chat about, but monumental games to look forward to this weekend.
Yeah, I can't wait for this weekend one. Super Sunday. And I'm giving my boots away.
Lovely stuff. What else is in Goldbridge's garage? Get in touch. Cheers.
No, they're good. All Thanks, right. Everyone, for watching. Make sure you smash a like and give us your comments as well. Speak to you soon.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.